Gustavo Gimeno, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to see you again, and this time at the back end of a very successful season. There is a bit more for the TSO, but the TSO season is effectively over for you. Looking back, what are some of the highlights?
Well, I was right now, as you were talking, I was thinking, what have we done in the last months, because things feel so fast. But I was thinking of performing again in Ottawa, and you know, so going out of Toronto is always a special thing, and doing for the first time together a Brahms symphony, first of Brahms also. And in the first half we had my first collaboration with Emily D'Angelo, who was our spotlight artist, but we had also other wonderful artists like Daniil Trifonov with also Brahms there, the first piano concerto. Of course, doing, I think everyone who knows me knows that I was very much looking forward to do Mahler again, Mahler Third Symphony, which is it's an epic journey for a conductor, for an orchestra. It's a, I think, great celebration of a season. And doing Rite of Spring, and we also had a special concert with Symphony Exploder, Rishi Hirway, and that was also for a different audience. So dissecting the piece and telling about Rite of Spring and about the background and how it has been composed, and showing some highlights of the piece, and Jean-Yves Thibaudet doing Gershwin. I mean, so much has happened, and it goes so, it feels when one it's over, it feels like everything went very fast, but lots of music, lots of new compositions, and some artists who I had never worked with here in Toronto, and again, a Mahler symphony, and now look forward to have some rest whenever possible and then prepare for the next.
I'm wondering if there is anything or anyone in particular that you're particularly happy to have brought to Toronto audiences this season.
I think of Emily D'Angelo, because when we programmed my very first season, she was going to be the spotlight artist, and then we had the pandemic, etc. So it had to be postponed. So that had been in my mind for so many years, that she's a wonderful Canadian singer, and I wanted to meet her and to make music together with her. So in a way, the fact that not only for her artistry, but also because of it felt like I had to wait a few years, that felt very special to me, but also re-encounter artists who I admire so much, like Daniil Trifonov. And I almost forgot from Peter Zimmermann, violinist, who was back in Toronto after, believe it or not, 24 years. The last time he was here was 24 years ago. Some of the members of the orchestra were telling me, oh, he's such an incredible violinist, would be great to have him back. And that was a difficult thing to get, in a way, because he doesn't travel that much to America in general, but we know each other since some years ago, actually since many years ago, but we had other previous collaborations, and that feels also, I'm proud, it feels like, you know, a success to have him back, and I know the orchestra enjoyed it so very much.
Coming back to Mahler, because you did choose to finish the Masterwork series with Mahler's Third Symphony, which is so vast, it's his longest work. But I wanted to talk about Mahler generally, because he does hold a very special place in the symphonic world, and you're doing lots of Mahler with the TSO. You did Mahler 5 earlier this season, Mahler 4 is up for next season. What makes him such a staple?
It's something I wonder myself often, because it hasn't always been that way. I mean, I remember, for example, think of Herbert von Karajan, who did so much repertoire with the Berlin Philharmonic. So all of us have recordings of the Berlin Philharmonic with Karajan. He didn't do much Mahler. So probably at the time at that time, Mahler was not as popular as is now. Even in the beginning of the 20th century, really appreciated in certain places like Amsterdam. He had this great collaboration with Willem Mengelberg, who was the music director of the Concertgebouw Orchestra at the time, but probably it wasn't the same everywhere. I think the reason that nowadays such a popular composer and so appreciated everywhere, there is something just simply very human about Mahler. I mean, he questions things. It's a bit like having a mirror in front of you. It's, first of all, it's very deep, very emotional, very spiritual music, but also relates to the mundane, to the daily life, to also existential questions, to religion, to philosophy, to nature, to doubt, insecurity. It's just human. I think that's it. And he tried himself, is embracing the world and talking about who we are as individuals, as society, and he does it in a very theatrical and very extroverted, and also it's sometimes very, very intimate and sometimes huge. I mean, he was also a great opera conductor, and also you hear opera in his symphonies, the theatrical aspect, and those extremes. Actually, he's a very extreme composer. In that sense, maybe less sophisticated than others, where probably for the bigger audience is difficult to grasp. I mean, for example, Baroque music. I love Baroque music, but I can imagine not for everyone. It is something which is at the surface. To find depth is, I simply more sophisticated. I think Mahler is very direct. You can't, it just goes into your heart in an unfiltered way. So it's just very powerful. I think it's very appealing to most of us, or to many of us, no matter which is your background and where you come from or what's your culture. Yeah, it's just very, very appealing and very strong emotionally.
Yeah, whenever I have a chance to speak with TSO musicians and ask them what they're looking forward to, Mahler almost always comes up as the thing they're looking forward to, very dear to the players themselves.
I mean, every single section of the orchestra, it's as many corners to resolve. It's very virtuosic, but also just the feel of community. It's a huge orchestra for most of Mahler's symphonies, with many challenges for every single individual player and section, but as collective, is really a spiritual journey. Take such a symphony as the one we did, the Third Symphony, which is probably the longest ever composed, 6 movements. In a way, you have to pace yourself, starting with me, with the conductor, emotionally, and also from the point of view of the architecture and how to approach. You can't be too emotional and make an event of every single minute, you know, which is very tempting when you do Mahler. So that long epic journey is so emotional. When one starts a symphony and feels, of course, the nerves of the beginning of the performance, and you start to cover more and more space and music, and at the end with such a last wonderful supreme love and movement, like the 6th movement of the Third Symphony, and you end, you feel with the people who have been surrounded, who have been surrounding you, you feel, yeah, that feel of community, what you went through all together. It's just, that reminds us of why we love not only music, but making music with others is very strong experience.
And making music for others, I'm wondering what your experience at this stage in your music directorship here in Toronto is in terms of the community in Toronto and interaction with patrons.
Yeah, I always think, which I find very motivating, because, of course, when I started, I looked back not only at the history of the orchestra and the different phases and what music directors did, on previous CEOs, and which were the challenges, and what was the repertoire, which composers were here in the past, and the festivals, and the new creations. And yeah, I read lots of programs, and I read about the history of the orchestra. Still, let's face it, the practice is different. I was preparing myself for what has been done in order, what can I bring? But also, not only understanding the past, but what's now the situation, what's surrounding me, what do I observe? Also because by reading and getting information about the past, that gives you a background, but still you need to look forward. That's my duty also. You analyze what has been done in order to think what can you bring, or in which moment of the history are we, not only, yes, of course, in Toronto, but also the TSO, and also in general, as artists. And I realized that the way I experience it, even though when you are on stage, you are so focused on what you do, but part of it somehow you realize, I think people are very open-minded. And I've also, by talking to people in many events or patrons, they really, well, they tell me often that they really like programming, what we are doing in the last years, because they realize that we are doing a lot of new compositions, also by young composers, that we are mixing a lot of repertoire, that gives us perspective, that's refreshing, and so that's what we kind of try to keep a balance between new compositions and, you know, blockbusters and lesser known repertoire. For example, next season we are doing a Bruckner symphony, but we do the first symphony. I mean, who knows the first symphony in Toronto? Who has ever played it? It has never been played by the TSO to start with. So it's not a new composition. There are other new compositions like this big work by Icelandic composer Daniel Bjarnason, but also to do a symphony by a famous historic composer like Bruckner, but a piece which has never been played by the orchestra, I find that very interesting. However, I'm coming back to your question, I think people are curious, open-minded, and I think they are enjoying the challenge of hearing much repertoire which they didn't know. And of course, I think it's very important to find balance and to revisit works which are wonderful and part of history. But sometimes, if we can look at a popular work from a different perspective, like, for example, we open next season with pictures at an exhibition by Mussorgsky, but not the instrumentation, not the orchestration of Ravel. So I think that's interesting. So because pictures at an exhibition, everyone knows, it's a very popular piece, and I know also for orchestra music lovers, they come to listen to it, but not with the most popular instrumentation, but something which sounds a little more raw, more direct, with less sugary, if you want, but which interests me. And I think it's also interesting to bring, you know, this different perspective to something which is known. So unknown and known can blend in sometimes in the way we program. And I think trying to keep it very interesting for the orchestra, for myself, for the audience. And I think we are that feeling of community going together through this journey, I think the audience is enjoying this.
The theme of next season is Concerti for Orchestra. What does that mean?
Why? Well, often in concerts you highlight a soloist, whether it's a visiting artist and also occasionally some of the players of the TSO. Sometimes programming, it does not happen like you have a vision and you know how it's going to be a complete season. Sometimes it just happens little by little. You cover certain areas and certain ideas, and that gives you another idea, or then you want to find something to contrast or to balance. And we were realizing, wait a second, we are going to do Concerto for Orchestra by Bartók, which is a very popular piece. But then we realized there were other Concerti for Orchestra which were lesser known but very important works, very good compositions, and we realize we actually are in a position in which we want to highlight and we want to make a little event for ourselves and for the audience of highlighting us, the collective, the Toronto Symphony, and that's how it came together. And then as we started brainstorming and searching about Concerti for Orchestra, then we realized actually there are some very interesting works there. Like, we opened also the season, I was talking about pictures at an exhibition with a different orchestration, but also a concerto for orchestra by Carlos Simon, so, and Sokolovich and Bartók, etc. There are a number of Concerti for Orchestra, but we basically wanted to highlight the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and the collective.
It's been a busy year. Do you get any downtime this summer?
I must be honest, I'm an addict to music and music making, and I love it. But even myself, I'm feeling lately like, oh gosh, there are so many scores always on the table. So I feel like it would be good to have just, I don't need much, you know, in a couple of days, just 1 or 2 days off for me, completely off without music. It's enough in order to become greedy again, and I need it. But yeah, I need some rest, but not yet. I think when I will have some space, a window, a bigger window, it's August. So I still, until that moment, I still go to Luxembourg. We have a recording with cellist Jan Gienkegaas. We do an open air concert with tenor Rolando Villazón. And then I also go to conduct the NHK Orchestra in Tokyo. Very much looking forward to that. For many years, I haven't been to Japan. And then a little tour in doing Mahler again, Fifth Symphony in the Concertgebouw with the Luxembourg Philharmonic, and then a couple of festivals in Spain. So still some very, you know, very... I mean, great opportunities for music making and great music. So very interesting concerts and recordings, etc. I'm sure I very much will enjoy it. But August will be a good moment for me to reset, to charge batteries, and to, after a couple of days being free, to open the thick, complex, important scores of next season. That's the way I always do it. I try to combine some time off and preparing for the next.
Well, Gustavo Gimeno, thank you for a dynamic season. Wishing you all the best for the summer, and we very much look forward to opening night in September.
Thank you very much.